Sup, this is New York Giants star receiver Plaxico Burress. You know, there are very few things more important than gun safety, especially when you have not yet applied for a permit to carry said gun. See, you got to know what you're doing. Oh! Alright, see, that hit my leg? That's an example of what can go wrong real quick. Like the grenade, I also carry a... Alright, that's cool. I catch with my other arm. Chill. But still, anything like putting your hand in a blender... or taking your table saw out clubbing as my remaining hand and my balls can attest. You got to be trained in stuff like that. So keep the safety on. Aight, it's on now. And be careful around firearms.
A message from the NFL, the NRA, and 911.
Oh, sinner, do not stray from the straight and narrow way, for the Lord is surely watching what you do. If you approach the devil's den, turn round, don't enter in, lest the hand of the Almighty fall on you. He'll fuck you up.
He'll fuck you up.
Yes, God will fuck you up if you dare to disobey his stern command. He'll fuck you up. Don't you know he'll fuck you up? So you better do some praying while you can. Long ago a man named Lot had a wife he thought was hot, but she could not stop her black and sinful ways. You know it was her own damn fault when God turned that bitch to salt. That's the way he used to work back in those days. He fucked him up.
He fucked him up.
He really fucked him up when the people went and turned their backs on him. He can fuck you up.
He'll fuck you up.
No shit, he'll fuck you up just like he fucked the people up back then. I used to have a friend named Ray who walked that evil way. He cursed and drank and broke his neighbor's fans. You know Ray was full aware that some sheep were over there, and he knew them in the biblical sense. God fucked him up.
He fucked him up.
He went and fucked Ray up, went and paid him back for all his wicked sins. He fucked him up.
He fucked him up.
Fucked that boy completely up. Now he's married to a Presbyterian.
Top researchers say spending a lot of time watching TV, playing video games, and surfing the web makes children more prone to a wide range of health problems. However, radio is great for children, and the healthiest kids listen to...
For the most entertaining talk anywhere, stay tuned to LA Talk Radio, your real talk station, your real with 24 talk hours of commercial-free programming.
Welcome to a potpourri of notable facts as Backtime takes the magnifier to examine the historical happenings on December 3rd. Today in 1931, we discover the cure for the supersized holiday dinner. Alka-Seltzer went on sale for the first time.
You better sit down, kid.
On this date in 1965, 800 demonstrators were arrested at the University of California at Berkeley campus for an act of civil disobedience that also added a new word to the lexicon. They had staged the first sit-in. Long live the king. In 1968, we got a glimpse of the future Elvis when his so-called comeback special aired on NBC. Thank you very much. That's back time for December 3rd. This is your announcer speaking.
A White House seance fails to contact the spirit of Ronald Reagan. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. An attempted White House seance was unable to bring forth the spirit of former president and astrology devotee Ronald Reagan late last night. Sources say key members of the Bush administration held hands in a candlelit room for nearly an hour before Vice President Dick Cheney called it quits.
Either he isn't there or he isn't talking. Either way, all that hand-holding gave me the heebie-jeebies.
White House staffers say President Reagan could be the key to holding the U.S. government together while Scorpio is rising. Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
salute you, Mr. Annoying Bluetooth Headset User.
Mr. Annoying Bluetooth Headset User.
The rest of us can't tell whether you're bellowing at a coworker or at your imaginary friend. But there's one thing we can tell, your incredibly inflated sense of self-importance.
That's right, you're the only one that matters.
When we see that stupid wireless set strapped to your head, we wish it did have a wire, so we could strangle you with it and get some peace.
That would make a nice ringtone.
I'll call someone who gives a crap.
Like some other idiot with a Bluetooth, yeah.
So the next time you're frightened by the sound of someone having a loud, one-sided conversation, don't worry. Most likely, it's an escaped mental patient. Or worse, it could be Mr. Annoying Bluetooth Headset User, a real American hero.
Mr. Annoying Bluetooth Headset User.
I really gotta get me one of those.
And now, from high atop the L.A. Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on L.A. Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Wednesday, December 3rd. Another beautiful day in Southern California, Susie.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
The same every day.
No, yesterday it wasn't that beautiful. It was very overcast and cloudy.
Yes, it was. Reminding us we're not really getting the winter we need.
Why do we need a winter?
We need a winter.
Why?
We need rain.
Because we just got rain.
No, we didn't get rain.
Yes, we did.
It rained
last week for a day.
Barely. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It rains here at night and then it's gone, you know?
Well, that's what you get for living in the desert.
I guess so.
Move to fucking Seattle.
I know. That's what we should do, huh? But I guess that's the other extreme, you know? That's too much rain.
Yeah, it is too much rain.
Do they only get like 2 months of sun or something?
I think so. Like in Vancouver, like they've got the most amazing summers. You know, mm-hmm. you'll get like three mm-hmm. or 4 months of just gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeousness.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the year is just rainy, kind of miserable.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's still beautiful there anyway.
Yeah. Did you know they're holding the next Winter Olympics in Vancouver?
I did.
Yeah,
I did.
It's pretty cool.
My ex-boyfriend actually is keeping his house specifically, so the value of it goes up because of the Olympics.
Yeah, yeah. And they can rent it out. I remember when we had the Olympics here in 1984 in L.A.
I was two.
You were two? Oh, Susie. A little two-year-old in New York.
Aww.
Developing into this monster.
Fuck you.
Eventual monster.
Oh, look what my parents have created.
But it was really cool. I mean, the city really anticipated it and stuff. So a lot of people thought it was really going to be congested in town for that whole week or 2 weeks, actually.
Yeah.
And no, it's a week. And so a lot of people went out of town, you know, after renting out their houses for like outrageous
mm-hmm.
prices. You know?
I know.
And because they figured, you know, people would want to come here for a couple weeks and they'll pay anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what ended up happening is half of the city fled. So it was so cool.
Oh, man.
Yeah, there was no people in town, you know, other than for the Olympics. So the roads were open. Everything was open. It was amazing, you know. And just the spirit in the air was amazing to have the Olympics here.
That is pretty cool.
It really was.
A lot of my friends in Canada, you know, they really are not happy with all the development and things that are going on. You know, it's pretty much changing the whole landscape of Vancouver with all the preparations.
Yeah, yeah, I can imagine.
So they kind of are all protesting it. I was like, oh, it's really cool you guys are having the Olympics. And they're like, no, it's not.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't they put it up for vote or something before they even apply for this?
I would think so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I'm sure there's always going to be people that are protesters and they don't like what's going on. You know, they have to have it their way.
Like you. You're always irritated.
Susie?
I went there.
I'm not going to spell it out, but F you. Okay.
Speaking of, I don't know what. I'm desperately trying to become a morning person and a night person right now. So I'm going to go back to actually being irritated at being awake in the morning.
Really?
Yes.
You don't like it anymore?
No, I do. It's just so difficult. Like I have all these things I want to do at night and I have mm-hmm. all this stuff that I want to do in the morning,
right.
like be here.
Uh-huh.
And then it's just really, really hard. The recovery time, actually,
uh-huh.
I'm finding is it's taking a little bit longer.
Have you considered drinking less?
Well, actually, I ended my evening last night at a place called Coco's, a little coffee and tea shop, having
yes.
decaf tea.
Coco's. Yeah, that's that diner chain, right?
No, it's just a coffee and tea place.
Oh, really?
It's a little tiny hole in the wall.
Oh, Coco, C-O-C-O-A, yeah. Probably.
C-O-C-O? I think it was C-O-C-O. Mm. I could be wrong, though. But so I was there with the photographer that took these other pictures of me. I don't think I showed them to you.
Yeah, no, I saw them on Facebook.
No, these pictures are not on Facebook.
Oh, those are different.
Yeah. Okay. These are on his website.
I want to tell you something about those photos, too.
Which photos?
But on Facebook. What? Oh, it's not on Facebook. Wait a minute. Do you know how I got to them?
How?
Through your website.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I guess I saw somebody coming into our site from your website, and I thought, well, I wonder what's going on her website. So I went there, and I saw the photos, and I thought, gee, you look different in those photos.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I mean, because you're all made up and everything and dressed up. I'm not used to seeing you like that.
You know? So did you like it? Did you like them? Did you think they were nice?
I thought for the most part, I don't know if they were that flattering for you. I don't think I saw really great photos there. I got to tell you. I don't think it's you. I don't think it's you, you know? I mean, because, you know, the way I look at a photograph is the photographer is the painter. Mm-hmm. And they paint the picture. You're just the subject in the picture, you know? So, yeah, but I mean, look, for the most part, they were nice, they were classy and stuff. I just, you know, from seeing you every day.
You like
day
the naked
stuff,
ones better?
What naked? Oh, no. The other ones, no. No, not necessarily at all. I mean, I think, I don't know, it was just a very bright red lipstick you have on.
Yes.
And I'm just not used to seeing you like this. I'm not saying it's good or bad.
Was kind of going for like the 50s unusual housewife look.
Yeah.
And if anyone wants to see these pictures, you can go to SusieRowley.com and click on Hal Bergman Photography.
Yes, and you'll know what we're talking
and
about.
And give me your feedback. Yeah. So
now, can I be like objective with you? And,
sure.
Okay. I want to talk about your hair for just a second. Okay?
Right now?
Yeah. No, not right now. In general, you like to cut it in the back now, right?
My hairstylist cuts it however she wants.
Yeah,
I don't have
it's
a,
like they make it shorter in the back than on the sides, right? Okay.
So it's angled forward.
Right. And you don't really see what it looks like in the back, right? But I think your hair would look so much better if you let it grow in the back as well.
You see, if I let it grow in the back, though, that's the problem. Then I actually have to wake up and style it in the morning and blow it dry.
Oh, I see.
I'm way too lazy to do that.
I see. Okay.
Way too lazy.
All right. Well, that would take observation.
That would add about another like 40 minutes to my day that I would not be able to be sleeping or doing something else.
Okay, but it does something to your head that, I don't know, doesn't look right.
You are the only person that doesn't like my hair. I get
I know,
so
I don't
many
say
compliments
I don't like
on my
it.
Hair on like a daily basis.
Don't say I don't like it. Stop looking at it as like judging you. I'm just saying that's my
You think
opinion.
I'm fat?
Here we go.
You were the one that opened the box.
Yeah. Well, I don't have that emergency thing.
You pushed the button and it didn't work.
Okay, so I guess I can't tell you my opinion.
No,
at all.
You absolutely can. Okay. I just don't really care.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine, you know. I'm just telling you. I think
if you want to pay for me to have a personal hairstylist on a morning, like on a daily basis, I will let my hair do whatever you want, Sammy.
I see. So that's what it's about. It's about maintenance and ease.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Then let's move on to the next topic.
The next topic I want to talk about, that fucking bumper was hysterical with the Mr. Annoying Man who wears the Bluetooth headset on his head and talks to himself.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I hate people that wear the fucking Bluetooth and they walk around.
Know.
Like, even our own TJ, I love him dearly. I just sent him a Facebook message. I was like, ha ha, you're one of those annoying like Bluetooth wearing headset people. I swear to God. I mean, I know you have to have them for like driving and stuff like that. And I have two of them, but I don't even know how to work them.
Or even while you're talking, but they have them on when they're not even talking.
I had this one.
They just walk around with it.
They look so fucking stupid. I had this one guy who would come into my restaurant back in Massachusetts all the time. He's on a date with his wife and he's sitting there with the Bluetooth on. You know, constantly. And it's like, you look like a fucking moron.
I know.
Take
they
it
really
off.
Do. They don't realize that.
No.
You know? And, you know, I mean,
I'll
sit with a
so
friend.
They look so cool.
I'll sit with a friend. He's got it on his ear. The phone hasn't rang for 2 hours. And, you know, he's got it on his fucking ear. And to me, it would just be like a nuisance to have it on your ear. It doesn't look comfortable.
It's not comfortable.
Yeah.
I wonder if...
And my question is, how do they think it's even impressive anymore? You know, I mean, everybody's got one, you know? In the beginning, it was, wow, he's walking around like a fucking pilot, you know, with a fucking headset and shit.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I mean, who cares?
I will say Lisa does it when she's in the kitchen, and it kind of actually makes sense, because then, you know, you can really multitask when you're, you know, like just walking around the kitchen. But, you know, she's in her own home, she's by herself,
right.
And then her hands are free.
Right.
So that's kind of okay. But But I don't know. I swear to God, people just look so dumb.
Really? You know, you're popping on the mic. Maybe bring it up a little bit or something. You know, dude. Maybe you shouldn't talk directly to it.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I mean, you can get closer. I just, it's just you're popping. And, you know, I mean, I am too. I don't know what the fuck. You know, we forget and we start talking really poppy.
Poppy, that's a very very appropriate segue for our author. Who wrote these books on, like, the king of pop.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, true. Okay, well, we're going to have the author in about 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And he's writing a book, or he wrote a book, excuse me.
Called The Hit Charade.
The Hit Charade. And what's the subtitle?
Lou Pearlman, Boy Bands, and the Biggest Ponzi Scheme in U.S. History.
Right. Well, I don't know what Ponzi scheme is. I think I know, but we're going to find out from him. But the thing is, Lou Pearlman was very, very famous in the 90s because he's the one behind...
He's the fat man?
He's the fat man behind the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and all those other boy bands that they try to put together. So you can imagine this guy was like a multi-millionaire. And... but then apparently it wasn't enough for him, so he started scheming people out of hundreds of millions of dollars.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it's very fucking impressive.
That's very impressive.
Half a fucking billion dollars, you know? I'm really curious to find out how the hell he did it, you know?
I mean, you have got to have, like, such a good front and, like, such a good story to, like, get... I don't know.
I know. I mean, you know, it's like, how many people can fall for something that you do, you know?
Is this why he's in jail?
It's not like he's a charismatic person or anything. I think he still is. I don't know. We're going to find out. He was in jail, the part of the book that I did read. And so the author, I guess, went to interview him also, but not about that case of all the fraud and shit. So we're going to find out about it. I thought it was pretty interesting and shit, you know,
okay.
to know what's going on behind the scene.
No, definitely. It looks super cool.
So we'll go to that.
That man just looks ugly, Lou Pearlman. He just looks like an odious creature.
Yeah.
I just kind of want to slap him.
Let's just get on the news for a couple of minutes.
Okay.
Do you mind? I mean, we're always fucking... People told me yesterday, all you guys ever talk about is sex. And, you know, I mean, that's not what we want to do. I mean, we talk about sex, but that's not what the show is about.
That's not all we talk
about. No, but, I mean, let's get into some fucking important things for a second. Okay. Now, apparently the big three automakers in the U.S. want help from the government, right?
Oh, fucking please.
Yeah. Now, how much do you think they're asking for? I mean... Can you even begin to imagine?
I would guess $100 billion.
Okay, well, not as much, but $34 billion they want in bailout money.
What?
And
I want bailout money too. Then, if they get it, I get it.
You think so?
Yeah.
So you don't think we should help stimulate, let's say, major corporations in the country, in the hope that it would stimulate the economy?
No.
No.
I think we should, if the government is going to give that money to our automakers, mm-hmm. they should have to be making fuel-efficient cars, like mm-hmm. hybrids, or electric vehicles.
Yeah. Or at least cars that people want to buy. Because obviously, if they did, they would not be in trouble.
It shouldn't be cars that they want to buy. It should be fuel-efficient vehicles. They shouldn't be allowed to be making anything else.
Well, maybe that's what people want, though. So that would go hand in hand. But in business, if you don't make something that people want, they're not going to fucking buy it. And apparently, that's what's happening. Because when you look at a Toyota or a BMW and all of that, all of those people, yes, they've had some kind of decline in sales. But for crying out loud, you know, they're not screaming for money.
No,
you
know? I know.
So, I don't know, but I tend to sometimes think that with the big corporation, like with the mortgage companies, you know, I think that is actually a good idea, you know, because the economy really depends on these institutions so much that, you know, it sounds so weird to talk about serious shit.
Why?
It does. It feels funny.
It's okay. Cock.
It's okay.
There, I'll interject one of my puerile comments.
Yeah. Well, so much for the news, you know. Did you hear that Barack Obama, it's been like all over the news, is buying his wife a $30,000 ring, diamond ring?
Who cares?
But the question is this the right time for him to do this?
If he wants to buy his wife a ring, let him buy his wife a ring. Who cares?
Yes,
it's none of our...
No, Susie, wait a minute, okay? You're like, let's say you're some poor person, okay, or a person out on his luck and shit, and you vote for Obama, and then he goes and behaves like this ultra-rich guy buying his wife, come on, a $30,000 ring?
How does anyone know that he's buying his wife a $30,000 ring anyway?
Because people now know everything about him. He's in a glass house. I mean, you know, he's the most famous person in the world now.
If he wants to buy his wife a ring, he should be allowed to buy his wife a ring.
Yeah, but $30,000, Susie?
Who are we to judge? Who cares?
Okay.
Well, I don't understand what's so wrong with it.
Because he's the president-elect now.
So his wife's got to look good.
And I think he should live, not lavishly.
Well, then we should have Sarah Palin in office.
Why?
Because she doesn't live lavishly.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay. Did you vote for her?
No.
Okay, so shut up. You're not going to have any Sarah Palin.
You know what I mean? Like, she was the one who, you know, she gave up, like, her private jet when she became, you know, governor of Alaska and all this other shit. You know, and she's like, she cut her security in half, and she's like, you know, it's too much spending. She drives, like, a beat-up Jeep with a cracked windshield.
Really?
Yeah. I read a whole Newsweek article on it.
Well, how come she's not going away, though? I mean, McCain has totally disappeared, you know?
He's tired. He needs a nap.
She's become like the total star of this thing.
Oh,
you know?
My God, I know.
She's not going away. I'm wondering why a lot of people don't like her, though.
I don't know. Mm. Like, people, like, really, really hate her.
I know.
Like, they're really mean about her, too.
I know. Maybe they're jealous or something. I mean, you know. That, look, at least her, I think the way she comes across is pretty impressive. You know? I mean, she's beautiful. She's cute. Blah, blah, blah. And she distracts you from the issues, you know? Because we're not accustomed to seeing these people in power, you know, in government. So
what people? Women?
Beautiful women, yeah.
Just checking. Just making sure that's what you meant.
No, I meant beautiful women.
We're also not like used to seeing like people like Barack Obama, like black people in office and in power.
That's true. Absolutely true. Yeah.
Let him buy his wife a fucking ring. I can't believe that's an issue.
$30,000. Well, you know what? He changed his mind. He's not buying his wife the ring. You see? Because he even realizes it's stupid.
Would you? If you had money, would you buy your wife a $30,000 ring? As a token of your affection for putting up with all your shit?
No, I think she
deserves one.
I think it's a waste of fucking money. I really do. And I'll tell you why. I mean, sometimes...
It's an investment.
No, it's not. You know what? To me, it's like when you put so much money into something so small that you could lose easily is stupid, okay? And you know what? I've seen women lose their rings, expensive rings, inexpensive rings, whatever. But you lose those. To put $30,000 on your finger is fucking stupid.
For Christmas, for like probably 3 years ago, I got $40,000 diamond earrings.
Excuse me? $40,000?
$40,000 diamond earrings.
Really? And you get to keep them?
Yep. I had them up until I got drunk in Vegas and they were stolen.
Oh, excuse me. So you know what I'm talking about.
Now,
who the fuck gave you $40,000 earrings?
A very good friend of mine.
Oh, another sugar daddy? Or sugar granddaddy?
I am not saying anything as to who gave them to me. But when I went home for Christmas that year, my grandfather was like, Sue Diddy. You know, like P. Diddy wearing those huge fucking diamond earrings. My like 80-year-old grandpa was like, you look like Sue Diddy. And my grandmother was like, Henry, you're lucky I don't have pierced ears or else I would have to have earrings bigger than Susie's. Wow. And it created like this whole big thing in my family. And they're just like, Jesus Christ, you know, your earlobes are going to like droop to the ground. But so anyway, I got them insured. Well, actually, the gentleman who gave them to me got them insured.
Right.
And, you know, I was driving cross country to move to California. And I stopped in Vegas. And I was staying at my friend Mike's house. Mike was living with three guys that he didn't know. You know, he was just kind of sharing the house with these guys.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, Mike and I are wasted, and we're playing backgammon. We're just going game after game after game after game.
Which reminds me, we need to play some backgammon.
Oh, totally.
You know, I listened to some older shows, and we were talking about it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I played backgammon in Vegas this weekend. Yeah. Oh, my God, I have so much fun with it.
Yeah.
But so we were playing like a 12-hour-long backgammon marathon outside sitting at his pool. And all of a sudden, I was like, oh, my God, I want to go swimming. And so I take off, I unscrew the earrings, and I put them in like my, I have like a whole pile of bracelets I usually wear too.
Yeah.
So I put the earrings in the
bracelets. So you wore those earrings to the pool?
It was at a house.
Is that fucking crazy?
It was at a house.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'm sitting outside in the backyard.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to like, I don't like swimming in the chlorine with these earrings and stuff like that. So I unscrewed them, I put them in the bracelet, and I continued to get drunk and play backgammon after I got out of the pool.
Yeah.
I got so drunk, I forgot my jewelry, and I left it sitting at the side of the pool. But I'm also at someone's house.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So the next morning, I come out of the bedroom, and the bracelets are all there, but the earrings are gone.
Mm.
Completely fucking gone.
Wow.
My heart almost stopped.
I'm sure.
And, you know, all the guys are out of the house. They had all left and gone to work. And it's like, you know, how can I just start randomly accusing these four guys when it was completely my fault for getting drunk? And
it was totally your fault for even walking around with earrings that expensive. I mean, I would imagine that you get these and you wear them on special occasions or something.
I wore them on a daily basis.
Yeah, you see.
They were so big that people actually didn't believe that they were real.
Really?
Yes.
All diamonds?
Completely diamonds.
Really?
Complete diamonds. I mean, they were ridiculous.
Yeah.
But so then I called.
I mean, people would fucking kill you for those.
I know.
You know?
Well, that's why, I don't know, people didn't think they were real and it was fine. but so all of a sudden I called the gentleman who gave them to me and I'm in hysterics. I'm like, Michael, I can't. They're gone. I don't know what happened. And he's like, it's okay, sweetheart. I got them insured. The motherfucking insurance company, you don't even know how mad this makes me. They actually said to Michael, they're like, you know, well, you can either get, you know, bigger diamonds, you know, and replacement, or we'll give you $50,000.
Really?
Yep. How does that work out?
I don't know, but wait a minute. Why are they like son of a bitches?
Because, like, rich people, you know what I mean? Like, they're rich, and all of a sudden, like, they walk into a restaurant, they don't have to pay for food, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or, like, they just get comped right off the bat.
Right.
They get all these special favors, and you know what I mean?
Mm.
And the insurance company is the same way with this guy. They didn't even make me file a police report. They didn't do anything. They just, you know, they completely took my word for it, and they were just like, oh, we're going to give you $50,000, even though, you know, they only cost $40,000.
You see, I was just going to ask when you said they insured them that why would any fucking insurance company insure something like this? You know, because obviously it's always going to fucking get lost somehow, and they have no control over it, and all you have to say is, hey, I lost them, you know? You can't fucking prove anything.
It was very expensive to insure them.
I'm sure.
And, you know, this insurance company, you know, has been dealing with this person, you know, for a long time, and he's got, you know, gazillion-dollar paintings that Donald Trump, like, you know, wants to get from him. I mean, he's a very reputable person.
Right.
Therefore, you can get anything insured.
Yeah, I suppose.
But so anyway, then I was deemed too irresponsible to have $50,000 earrings, and I did not get them back.
Nah.
Yes. It's very sad.
You were deemed to be irresponsible. No, that's a fucking understatement, Susie.
What else could I say? I don't know.
Yeah, not much. Not much.
I was so pissed.
But
like,
that's,
oh
man, I would be so fucking like.
So a $30,000 ring, puh.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a drop in the bucket. Whatever.
Yeah, there you go, you see?
I'm kind of skewed with money.
Yeah, I think you are. It's come too easily for you.
I actually, at one point, the same person that had given me these earrings, I had an American Express Platinum card.
Oh.
From him.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to make me sound like a wretched human being, but I was spending 50 grand a month for 6 months in a row on this platinum card.
Wow. What do you buy for $50,000 a month, Susie?
I don't even know.
Wow.
I would just go out to restaurants. I would travel. I would do ridiculous shopping. I would take friends to Barney's and spend like $12,000 in an afternoon.
Jeez.
Like, I know how to shop. I can do some serious
damage. I'm sure. Shit. Anybody could with that kind of money, Susie.
I know how to do it right. And the funniest thing was, on month seven of my having this card, the gentleman who was paying the bills, he came rushing into my bar, and he's like, look, honey, look. And I was like, what? And he's like, you're such a good girl. And I was like, what do you mean I'm such a good girl? And he's like, your credit card bill was only 20 grand this month. I was like, really? I was like, oh, shit, I guess I'm going to have to, you know, work harder next month.
Make up for it.
Make up for it. But he was so proud of me. He's like, look, honey.
Are you serious?
I am dead serious.
Wow.
It's actually, it's the funniest thing because, like, I make no money right now. I'm completely poor, but I'm completely happy. I could care less. You know, I can live well with money. I could live well without it. But the really funny thing is if you look at my credit report, it actually has, like, your, whatchamacallit, like, all the credit cards that you've had in your name.
Right.
And so it's got the $50,000 a month that I was spending, like, on my credit report. And
so you must have the best credit in the world.
Actually, I don't, because I had really shitty credit for a really long time.
Oh.
And then, like, being delinquent for 3 years on 12 credit cards, you know, having one paid for a few months really doesn't matter.
No, I guess it doesn't.
But
it's so easy to get into debt, you know, with
credit
cards.
Know. But isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah.
You think I'm awful?
No, I think you were just young and
it was last year.
And carefree. Okay, I take it back. I still think you're young and carefree.
And what am I now?
Young and carefree. Meaning you would do it all over again.
In a heartbeat.
I know.
It's good for the economy.
Yeah.
See, that's why that's why we're in this fucking mess that we're in right now, because I'm not out there shopping diligently.
There you go. You could stimulate the fucking economy yourself.
Ooh, stimulation.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, what do you say? Should we call our author? Yeah, we do. Okay. Let's see. His name is Tyler Gray. And do you think he's in New York, Susie?
No.
Is it possible?
I think he's in Cleveland.
Well, we had one from San Francisco the other day.
Ooh, I've got a match on eHarmony from a guy named Amin. Is that Jewish?
No.
Amin?
That sounds Muslim to me.
Oh.
Amin?
Amin.
Mm. Maybe Iranian or something. I don't know.
So I just want to tell you, I have this match on eHarmony that I've been kind of like corresponding with. And he's like, oh, I can't wait to hear your radio show. Like, you know, what? How do I listen to it? And I'm like, uh-uh. And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, you let everyone in the world. I was like, you know, I kind of just tell everything that's going on in my life, and I really don't want you to know all about me quite yet. It might scare
The rest of the world can, but
it might
you.
Scare you away, and I don't want to scare you away before I reel you in and chew you and then spit you out.
All right.
This is Tyler.
Good morning, Tyler. This is Sam and Susie in the morning calling you from L.A. How you doing this morning?
Hey, what's happening?
What's happening is we calling you, and where are we calling you?
it was rhetorical. Yeah. I was expecting it.
Good. Where are you? Where are we calling you?
In Manhattan.
Manhattan. Okay. You see, every time we talk to an author, we make a bet. Are they going to be from New York or not? And
exactly.
Yeah, 99% it's New Yorkers. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm actually born and raised in Florida, so I'm a transplant. I've been here almost long enough to be called a New Yorker.
Oh, wow. Ah,
wonderful.
Nice, nice. Well, we happen
certainly
to love...
Certainly a big enough jerk at times to be called a New Yorker, that's for sure.
Well, we love New York here, and Susie's originally from New York. So, so we welcome you to the show.
Thank you.
You wrote the book Hit Charade, and this is all about Lou Pearlman, who was behind the Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, and some other, I guess, boy bands that he tried to launch.
Yep, that's the man. It was Natural and LFO and O-Town, who were on that TV show making the band. So
O-Town, I've got a story for you.
Yeah. So, but at any rate, so this happened in the mid-90s.
Yeah, I mean, Backstreet Boys started to get them together around 92, and they sort of made it big around 96, 97.
Right, right. And so at the time, I would imagine he was very rich.
Well, that was the perception. The thing is that the money he claimed to have of his own was really just sort of borrowed money, kind of lured from investors who thought they were investing in something totally different than what they actually were spending their money on, which was essentially nothing.
Really? So how do you do something like this? I mean, how do you fool so many people into giving you so much money? I mean, you were talking about $500 million.
Yeah, I mean, the short answer is believe your own lies. And the long answer is what he did was, you know, his first business was a helicopter company, which was a real thing. He actually had a couple of helicopters that he leased, and only problem was that bled cash. Well, that business led to a blimp business, which was a legitimate thing. He actually did have blimps, although there was some sketchiness of that business, too, and he ended up crashing about five of them, which is like 75% of the blimps he ever flew, he crashed.
Because he was too heavy?
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting metaphor for the man himself.
Yeah.
Look at that. But behind all that was this sort of less public, private charter airline business in which he said he owned as many as, you know, at times he told people he owned 40 or 50 jumbo jets. We're talking like 747s and 727s. And he claimed to be flying around the rich and famous on charter flights on these planes. But the truth was he never actually owned any jets, and he was luring millions and millions of dollars from investors all over the world, who thought they were spending money investing in these planes, but in fact they were really just lining his pockets and supporting whatever next business or whatever Rolls Royce he wanted to buy next.
That's amazing. Ooh. That's amazing. I mean, you have to be very smart to be able to do that.
Yeah, and just, you know, have your mind be able to handle a million different directions at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I'm going to ask you in a minute how you got into this, but in the book, you mentioned you actually met Ron Perlman, right?
Lou.
I'm sorry, Lou.
Ron I've never met.
Yeah.
But, legitimately rich.
Yeah. But, Lou, you met him in prison, right?
Yes.
And
I met him once, maybe once before, like as a nightlife reporter in Orlando, Florida. Oops, sorry about that. I'll turn it down. I sort of just went into prison and talked to him in jail, in the Orange County jail, and talked to him for about 45 minutes about his quote unquote legacy.
Yeah, I'm sure he was happy to talk about himself.
The thing he didn't want to talk about was the case that was against him at the time, where he'd been captured in Bali, Indonesia. After he went on the run, when some of this stuff came to the surface, he took off, and the feds tracked him down to Bali, Indonesia, and arrested him, brought him back, and tried him here. But he didn't want to talk about the case. He was happy, though, when I said, let's talk about your legacy.
Right.
He was happy to talk about that.
Yeah. So what kind of a person did you find him? Was he pleasant to you? I mean, how were you impressed by him?
I was impressed that he was such a salesperson. I mean, you know, here's a guy that he's literally talking to me with a prison jumpsuit on, and he's telling me about all these projects he has coming up and how he's going to have his hand in all these different businesses coming up. He is convinced that he really didn't do anything wrong, and that if he'd just had a little more time, he could have made this all work. And I hate to admit this, and I think that he is a guy who deserves to be behind bars, but if there's anybody who could have come back from all this, it would have been him.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
That is amazing.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned a Ponzi scheme. What is that like, briefly?
The simple way to explain that is you get new investors to pay your old debts. So you start with something fake. People invest in it, and when they start asking for their money back, you get new investors to give you cash to pay them off. Meanwhile, there's nothing at the center of it. So eventually, too many people come asking for their money back, and the whole thing crumbles.
Yes.
Oh.
Wow. Jeez. So he was able, how many years was he able to do this for?
You know, it could be traced back probably to like 85 or 89. When he first started sort of launching enough companies that new investors would invest in these new companies, and then he'd use their money to pay off sort of old debts that he had. He had something where he essentially created from scratch, or out of thin air, a savings account system that was tied to one of his fake businesses, where he told people, give me your money, I'll hold on to it, I have all these international contacts, and I can get you a point or two better interest than a typical bank. Don't worry, it's all insured by the FDIC and by Lloyds of London and AIG and all these people.
Don't people ask for proof of this?
They did, and he had it. It was just fake. It was completely made up.
Oh.
There were fake letters, fake policies, forged signatures, all that stuff.
Jeez, so he had it all down. Wow.
Yeah.
Now,
he was always a couple steps ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, going back to the part where he launched those boy bands, was that his brainchild, or was that something that was somebody else's idea and he financed it or produced?
A little bit of both. I mean, if you go back, I mean, the Jackson 5, quintessential boy band, right? I mean, that's the one that, you know, and then there's New Edition, and then there's New Kids on the Block, and then, you know, there's Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. But certainly no one had done it at the level he did it. And the reason he was able to do that is because he had cash to sink into this thing before it ever even got to national attention. Mm. And nobody had as much cash as he had on hand before, and no one was as dedicated. He spent $3 million just putting together the Backstreet Boys. Now, keep in mind, that was all stolen money.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's not like he was able to recognize talent or something like that?
No, I should back up. He definitely did have an eye for what was popular and what was successful.
What
and
little
what
girls wanted.
Yeah, exactly.
What little girls want. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, he said it. He said this so many times in interviews. His line is that, you know, boy bands will be popular as long as God's still making little girls.
Yeah, that's amazing. And they were huge. They were huge.
Yes.
So now, briefly, how did you get interested in this? How did you get into it? And what drove you to actually sit down and write a book?
I grew up in Orlando, Florida, and I was a reporter for the newspaper there, the Orlando Sentinel, for 6 years. And in the end, I was covering nightlife and entertainment as a columnist, but did everything about, you know, courts and crime and all that stuff leading up to that. Sort of saw all this happening right under my nose with the boy band thing happening and Lou Pearlman getting really popular and driving, you know, all around town in his fancy cars and renting out clubs and all that stuff. And all of this felt like there was something fake about it.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the lip syncing, but, you know, or not just the frosted tips, but just something underneath it just felt wrong. And, you know, none of us really dug into it like we should have at the time. on any level. And so I think a lot of people who were around and saw this happen, when it came out that a lot of this stuff was fake, they sort of jumped on it. And some people for daily newspapers did really good jobs jumping on it. I felt like I watched this happen under my nose, and then I sort of needed to go back and correct that as a reporter I didn't see what was going on. So I'm in good company. 60 Minutes, called him, the man with his finger on the pulse of America's youth, and this guy worth $950 million, they said at the time, which is just was never true. So
really? Wow.
So I just went back and sort of started with his biography, and undid every little point in there that was sort of a key point in his life that he'd repeated over and over again. Turns out that most of those things were lies. And at the same time as I was writing the book, he was dealing with a criminal case against him, and that was unfolding. So it just sort of worked in conjunction with that.
Now, what exactly he was caught for all of the fraud? That's what he's in jail for now.
Yeah, he, when things fell apart and he started owing money to people and couldn't pay it back, people started closing in on him. The feds were investigating him. He took off. He went to first Germany and Ireland, Germany. He was in Hong Kong for a minute. Ended up in Bali, Indonesia, where he was checked into a hotel under the name A. Incognito Johnson.
No!
And he was spotted by a German tourist on the beach.
Wow.
And eventually that same tourist took a picture of him eating breakfast, sent it to a reporter. Sent it to a reporter at the St. Petersburg Times, who forwarded it on to the FBI.
Yeah.
FBI
oh,
swooped in the next day and got him. So
yeah.
He was charged with five counts, essentially like money laundering, bankruptcy fraud, investor fraud.
Wow.
That sucks.
This is a fascinating story, and congratulations for taking the time. How long does it take to write something like this?
Not long enough. I would have liked longer, but it's it's one of these timely things. You want to try to get it. In and done as soon as possible, and I think start to finish, writing wise, it's probably a 6 to 8 month process.
Mm. Well, that's pretty impressive. I know people have taken years to write books. So what you're saying is, So what you're saying is that if given more time, you would have found out even more about him.
I think so. I mean, I already had to deal with thousands of pages of documents and public records, and really,
that's a daunting task.
I literally turned in this book. The majority of it before he actually was sentenced to prison. So I'm running out of the sentencing after interviewing a bunch of people and filing, like the last chapter to
right.
get this thing to press. So it's very much a deadline book in that way.
Yeah. And so finally now, I guess we're all curious to know, is he still in jail and how many years is he in for?
He got a 25-year sentence. It's federal time, which means he has to do 85% of that. He's 54, so he's hugely overweight and diabetic, and probably has a good chance of not making it out of prison alive. But he is sentenced to that. Now the judge gave him this weird out. He said, for every $1 million you can recover for investors and give back to them, I'll take a month off your sentence.
Whoa, that's nuts. So he's got it now. Oh my God, that's so unbelievable, because now he's just going to start like defrauding more people to like, get the million.
Well, he can't do too much business from prison. But he certainly can try.
Wow, that's crazy.
Wow, amazing. Well, Tyler Gray, thank you so much for spending the morning with us. And again, a fascinating book. It's called Hit Charade. And
did you send Mr. Perlman a copy of the book?
No, he can buy it if he wants.
Yeah, let him buy it at the prison library or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
All the best to you.
No, if he reached out and needed a copy, I would get him one.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, is there any links you'd like to plug? Any website that you have?
Really, it's just the the Amazon page.
Right.
Look for the Hit Charade on Amazon. It comes right up. Anybody's read it? Throw up a review. I'd love to hear what you think.
Sounds good.
Awesome.
All right. Tyler Gray, thank you so much again, and give our love to New York.
Yeah, well.
Okay. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like his voice. He's got a good film
voice.
Yeah,
I think he's also pretty handsome, right? Did you see his picture?
No, hold on. Let me check.
On the back flap.
Ooh. Hi, Tyler.
You should have looked at it before.
Oh,
huh?
My God. He's really cute.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you'd like that. Should we call him back?
Call him back, please. Tell him I'll be in New York for a week over Christmas.
Okay.
No, seriously.
I'm not going to embarrass him. He's a fucking guest, Susie.
Well, send me his email address and I'll see if he wants to have drinks.
I only have his number, but...
No, he's so cute. Oh, my goodness.
Really?
Yeah. Well,
maybe he'll call. Maybe he should call it. All right, Susie is getting warm here.
It is getting warm in here. Oh, my goodness.
Okay, let's take a break, Susie. We'll be back right after this.
It's been remade once, and now it's being remade again. It's the hilarious football comedy, The Longest Yard, this time starring quarterback Michael Vick.
Okay, this is how we're going to beat the gods. You go long, dog.
Giants wide receiver Plaxico Burress.
I say we use the shotgun. It's a lot safer than a pistol.
And Hall of Famer O.J. Simpson.
Just hand it off to me, and I'll slash through the defense. I'll make sure that nobody's getting off this field.
The Longest Yard, a dumb comedy about even dumber athletes. Coming soon.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Some real close, let me tell you.
entertaining, cool. You are listening to LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
You're listening to the best morning show on internet radio. It's Sam and Susie in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
It's Sam and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
So since we were just talking about the boy bands, and he mentioned O-Town was one of the ones that Lou Pearlman was involved with.
Yeah, I don't remember the name.
O-Town? You don't? They did the whole thing on MTV, like making the band.
Oh, yeah. So that was the name of the band?
O-Town, yes. Mm-hmm. So I was, I just spent the summer like in Poughkeepsie, New York, and I was waiting tables at a little place called River Station.
Mm-hmm.
And it was approaching, I was like 18 years old, so I was not even legally allowed to be going out to the bars, but I was anyway.
But you went.
But I was. So I was. It was like probably like 11:30, and my shift was supposed to end at 12. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, like, you know, the host is like, "Susie, oh my God, O-Town just sat in your section. Oh my God, it's O-Town." And I'm like, "Who the fuck is O-Town?"
Yeah,
because I'm not like into all the poppy shit. I don't know.
Yeah.
And so everyone in the restaurant was freaking out. They're like, "Oh my God, O-Town, Susie, you get to wait on them." And I'm like, "Big fucking deal. I don't know who these people are."
Yeah.
So I walk up to them. I was like, "Can you guys hurry up and put your order in? Because my shift's over in half an hour." And they're like, "Do you know who we are?" And I was like, "No." And they're like, "We're O-Town." And I was like, "That doesn't mean anything to me." And so they start going like this. They're like, "A one, a two, a one, two, three, four." And they break into like their song, like,
really?
You know, harmonizing.
Uh-huh.
They're like, "Now do you recognize us?" And I was like, "No." So they were kind of impressed with the fact that I didn't know who they were and I wasn't like a big, you know, making a big deal over them. And so I got them to hurry up and put their order in. And then they're like, "Where are you going? Like, why are you in such a rush?" And I was like, "I want to get to the bar." They're like, "Can we come with you?" And I was like, "Yeah, I guess." They're like, "Well, we sent our limo away. They're like, can you drive us?" And I was like, "Well, I have a little Miata, and there are four of us." So I was like, "Sure." It was just up the street. So I totally illegally pour, you know, four people into my fucking Miata. The car's like sinking.
Really?
And we go up the street to my little watering hole called Noah's. So I walk into Noah's, like, with O-Town, like, trailing behind me. And the bartenders are like, "Oh my God, Susie just walked in with O-Town." And I go and I sit.
So everybody knows him except
everyone
you.
Everyone knows him except for me. And so all the girls in the bar were just like, "Ooh, O-Town." And I'm like, "Bartender," I'm like, "You know, give me my drink." So I'm now sitting with O-Town and we're just getting really, really, really drunk. And you know, they start asking me questions. They're just like, "What's the craziest thing you've ever done? What's the craziest thing you've ever done?" And I was like, "I don't know." And meanwhile, they're telling me, you know, they're giving me backstage passes to like their concert the next day and da-da-da-da-da. And so, finally, I keep telling them, like, little crazy things that I've done.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, have you ever had three guys at once? And I was like, what? And at this point, I was super, super drunk. And
really?
All of a sudden, like, I was like, all right, I'm not really comfortable with that. And they're like, come on, you know you want to come back to our hotel and this and that. And I was like, actually, you know, I'm going to go. And I went to grab my keys that were sitting on the table.
Mm-hmm.
The one guy, like, grabs my wrist and, like, slams my hand down. He's like, "You're not going anywhere."
Wow.
And I was just like, I was like, "Yes, I am." One of the
Were you like terrified?
I was fucking terrified. But luckily, I'm in like my hometown bar where like everyone knows me, and I've got so much backup at this place.
Mm-hmm.
So there are these four brothers, the Beauchart brothers. They live down the street from my mom, and like they totally just had my back, like with everything.
Uh-huh.
And so Anthony, the one brother, had just walked in, and he saw the guy like grab my wrist like that,
mm-hmm.
and he walks up to the guy and just like he's like, "Don't fucking touch her, let go of her."
Uh-huh.
And so O-Town was like, "Okay, I'm sorry," you know. And so like Anthony, like, you know, puts his arm around me and walks me out to my car as I'm like kind of like a little shooken up from
mm-hmm.
it. And he's like, "Susie," he's like, "O-Town just wanted to like gangbang you."
Yeah,
and I'm like,
"It's exactly what they
yeah,
wanted to
I'm
do."
Yeah, I'm like, pretty much that's exactly what they wanted yeah. to do.
You see, because you're not very choosy in who you hang out with, and that's what happens.
Well,
know?
I don't care. You know, they wanted to come to the bar, and they're like, "Can we come?" And I'm like, "Well, sure. Hurry up and pay your bill and give me a big tip, and let's go."
Yeah. So, but you didn't go to the hotel room?
Fuck no.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck no. They wanted to gangbang me. Like, they were serious about that.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm like, all right, you guys are gay. Like, you all want to be naked together.
Yeah, exactly.
With one
I don't
chick.
Get
I'm
that.
Like, that's really not sexy.
Yeah, because it's not about sex for them. You see, it's like a game, you know? They control the woman and do whatever the fuck they want, you know?
I've never
use
really
her.
Understood, like, gangbangs because, I mean, it just seems like I would definitely, if I were the guy, I would definitely want to go first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, imagine.
Or get a sloppy 90s.
Ew. What, a sloppy 90s?
Yeah.
What's that?
Okay, you know how you get sloppy seconds?
Yeah.
Okay, so after 90 guys, you get like a sloppy 90th, okay?
Okay, I get it. Oh man, what's the best thing about 29-year-old?
A 29-year-old.
Oh, I messed that joke up. It's supposed to be there are 20 of them. never mind. I totally butchered that.
Yeah, you did.
I should just stop telling jokes because I really can't tell them well.
Really?
No, really, seriously.
Okay, so don't tell jokes.
I won't.
Do you want to hear something really funny? I mean, this is a prank phone call. I think you're going to love this, okay? It's like a couple minutes long, but it's really, really funny. So check this out. And it's like, you know, it's one of those heavy southern accents and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's why I like it so much. I mean, it's just amazing. So let's take a listen for
Police department?
I need to speak with the chief.
Who's calling, sir?
It's R.D. Mercer about a problem I had with one of y'all's officers.
Okay, Mercer?
Yeah, M-A-R-C-E-R.
Okay.
Yeah.
M-A-R-C-E-R.
Yeah.
Hold on just a moment.
Yeah.
Yes.
Listen, my name is R.D. Mercer, and we had us a problem last night with one of y'all's officers over here.
Over where?
Here in town. He stopped my little stepdaughter last night for a burnout taillight. And he said that he wouldn't write her a ticket if she'd agree to go on a date with you. And I ain't gonna stand for it.
Well, by God, I don't believe that.
What's he doing down there trying to work up a date with my stepdaughter?
No, you bring your daughter in here and sign this, and we'll sign a formal complaint. We'll get him here.
I ain't gonna do it. I'm coming down there to whoop somebody's ass.
You come in and bring her in.
I'm bringing myself down there with about a 55-gallon drum of whoop-ass, and I'm going to open it on y'all.
No, you better not do that.
I guarantee you she done engaged to marry a fella over down in Broken Bow.
Fella, I don't even know what you're talking about. Are you talking in Broken Bow or Ida Bell?
Ida Bell. She's in Ida Bell, and she's going to marry a boy, Joe Biffle. You know Joe Biffle?
No, I don't know Joe Biffle.
He's a double diamond Amway distributor down there in Broken Bow.
You bring her in and sign the complaint.
I ain't doing it. I'm coming down there today, and I'm going to find that fella, and I'm going to find y'all.
You better have your facts straight.
Well, I guarantee you that's what she told me.
Well, bring her in and let her face him, okay?
No, she's too upset about it. She's been sexy harassed down there.
Bring her in and let her face him.
I ain't going to do it. She done talked to him last night, and I'm P.O.'d about it.
Well, I'm a little P.O.'d the way you're talking.
Well, I guarantee you that somebody...
I'd bring my daughter in, though, and let her face him.
You'd be PO'd if it's your daughter,
I'd
wouldn't you?
I'd bring her in, though, too.
Well, I ain't going to do it. I'm coming down there. She ain't never lied to me, and I don't think she's going to start now. Badge or no badge, somebody's going to get ass whooped.
You bring her in and let her face him.
You ever had an ass whooping?
Who?
You.
Fella, don't be calling, threatening me on the phone.
Are you a single man or are you a married man?
I've got a daughter, 27.
Well, and by God, do you understand how come I got some
mad? And by God, I'd bring her in.
I guarantee you, I ain't going to do it.
Well, then don't come down here raising hell.
I'm coming down there to whoop somebody's ass here in about a New York minute.
Well.
And I tell you what,
you better get your stuff straight.
Well, I ain't going to have it straight when I come down there.
Yeah, you are.
She got a big bachelorette party tonight, and she's going to be tore up and ain't going to be able to have it. I was going to get somebody dressed up like a state trooper and strip for her.
You better get your stuff together.
And his name is John Kaufman. He's coming down here to do that. He's going to strip down to a...
All right. Anyway. So they were wrapping up the prank call there. But isn't that awesome, though? You know, I mean, sometimes you cringe of the things that people can do and say.
A 55-gallon drum whip iris.
I know. I love how he talks.
Oh, man. I can't stand Southern accents.
You can't?
No.
I think they're funny, you know? They're fun to listen to.
They are fun to listen to, but, like, I don't know. I dated a guy, Flint Houston Griffin III, actually. What kind of name is that? He's from Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
And people that have, like, Southern accents, sorry to anyone out there with a big Southern accent, they just sound slow to me.
Slow.
Like, very slow. Like, I always think their mental capacity is, like, much lower.
It does sound like that sometimes.
It really does.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just because, like, I'm from New York and I'm very fast, 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 fast. Everything I do is, like, go, 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 even the way I talk.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. People that just, I don't have patience for. I'm like, spit it out. Yeah. What do you have to say? God damn it.
So, you're not saying they're slow in their brain. They're just
I'm saying they're slow in their brain.
Are you?
I kind of associate the slowness of... like their speech patterns with the slowness, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe minor retardation.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so mean.
Yeah. I know, it's pretty interesting, the southern accent thing, the mm-hmm. whole thing with it.
I was a lazy piece of shit yesterday.
Why?
I don't know. I think I have like a stomach flu or something, and it was just kind of really annoying. So after the show, I went back to my house, and I should have been studying for my finals.
Mm-hmm.
Really should have been studying for my finals, because I'm working intensively over the next 5 days.
Yeah.
And then I've got the finals next week, so I have like no time to study with all the work I have coming up.
So did you decide you're actually going to try the statistics and go for it?
I haven't decided yet.
Mm.
I mean, I sorted my papers while I was sitting on my couch into three piles that I don't know. Three big piles of papers that I just have no fucking clue about. And then I proceeded to watch The Young and the Restless in marathon style.
Oh. How many of them did you watch?
Nine.
Nine?
Nine.
And they're each 1 hour?
Well, they don't have commercials on the internet, so they're about 43 minutes each.
Oh, wow, Susie. How the fuck?
Total.
You see, I don't envision you sitting and fucking watching TV or your computer screen for so fucking long.
Well, I told you I had like a stomach. My stomach was like killing me, and
yeah.
so
you couldn't do much anyway.
I really couldn't do much of anything. I should have been studying, but so I was just kind of like, I'll study when I've caught up with all the Young and the Restless.
Yeah.
And then there were just all these Young and the Restlesses, and I was like, okay, eight more, seven more, six more. And then all of a sudden, I was like, shit, they're over. Now what do I do?
Yeah.
No, I actually have to do the studying.
Are they pretty addictive?
Well, I told you I've been watching it since I was in the womb.
That's true. Yeah, I've been watching it a long time.
I've been watching it for absolutely ever. And then...
How many years do you think it's been running already?
It's definitely been on for over 27 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the one character's been on it for 27... Like, two of the characters have actually been on it for, you know, this
long.
The
whole time?
Yeah.
Wow.
Victor Newman.
Oh, that guy.
Eric Braeden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Victor Newman, I saw him in Santa Monica once.
Really?
Yeah, he was in a restaurant.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was really cool.
I actually ran into JT, one of the private investigators who's married to Victoria, who's Victor Newman's daughter. he came into my bar up in Malibu, and I was like, hey, JT. I was like, what's up? And he's like, nice to meet you. I shook his hand.
Really?
And then he actually wanted me to nanny for his friend.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because his friend was there with him, and they had a baby. And I was like, oh, adorable kid. You know, I was like, how old, two? And they were like, you're good. I was like, yeah, I'm a child care technician. You know, that's what I do when I'm not bartending. And then, you know, we exchanged information and stuff like that. But I couldn't wait to call my mom. I'm like, Mom, I'm going to date JT from The Young and the Restless. Oh, man.
I don't know who JT is.
I know. He's one of the new young whippersnappers.
Mm.
So.
Yeah. Is that the only soap you watch?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, people can actually make a career out of watching soap operas.
What do you mean a career? You mean just because they watch so many?
Yeah. They can have like a full-time job of like watching soap operas.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does kind of take up a large portion of your day if you kind of get into it.
Yeah. I'm sure some people have that very job.
I know.
Watching it.
Housewives?
All day.
Yeah. Maybe for starters.
Yeah.
I have to take this sweater off. I'm really hot.
Okay.
So hold
Go
on.
Go ahead. Let me ask you this, though. Have you ever thought of being on a game show?
What kind of game show?
I don't know. Like, what what kinds do they have? I don't know. Well, Jeopardy. I would love to go on Jeopardy. You know?
You'd have to know something to go on Jeopardy. Oh.
Ooh.
Ba-da-ba.
Ooh. All my sound effects are gone now. I can't do any of them, but I would have used the shotgun or something on you.
Actually, I have to tell you something funny about that. Yeah. My eHarmony... Thank you.
Okay.
My eHarmony profile picture is of me holding a big shotgun.
Really?
Uh-huh.
What kind of guys do you think you're going to attract?
I don't know. But it's a little, it's an interesting experiment. And so the one guy I just reached like open communication with, he's like, I knew as soon as I saw your picture, I have to meet a girl who lives in Southern California and who's got like a profile picture with a 12 gauge. He's like, I just wanted to know what kind of person you really are.
Where'd you have the picture taken?
Skeet shooting in Vegas.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Oh.
My dad's girlfriend, like, she really does well with my hair. She's like my personal hairstylist when I'm out there. So she had done my hair and my hair looked great. And then I'm holding the shotgun and I turn and I look at the camera and I've got this like coy little look and I'm just like, ah. So, but yeah, so it's like, you know, I'm trying to like weed out the people, you know, that would be afraid of something like that.
I think, I don't know about being afraid, Susie. I think some people have fetishes of women with guns.
Really?
You know? Yeah. In fact, I'll bet you there's a magazine like that or something.
Oh, please.
It sounds like there's got to be one. Yeah, chicks and guns.
Chicks and guns.
Yeah.
My taxidermist that I...
And what does that mean?
You know.
You stooped him.
Yes. Oh, man. So after I was mounted and stuffed by my taxidermist, you know, now he, well, initially, the very, before I had slept with him, he wouldn't, you know, he initially, you know, he charges people for his work because that's what he does.
Right.
But so he actually wanted to use my pictures in his brochures because I hunt in a bikini and an iPod with a 30-06.
Yeah.
And so he's like, you're so much hotter than the overweight middle-aged men that I usually have in the cover. Uh-huh. So, you know, if I could use you as like a model for, you know, my work,
uh-huh.
he's like, I'll do the work for free. I'm like, okay, uh-huh. you know, fine. And then I stopped him and then I don't have to pay for anything anymore.
Oh, nice.
I actually, after I had dropped off the wildebeest when I, you know, hooked up with him.
Uh-huh.
And so I was telling him, I was like, I have to pay for this now or else I'm going to feel like a whore. Yeah. He's like, no, there's no way after last night that I can let you pay. And I'm like, no, I really have to or else I really will feel like a whore. Like, please let me pay. And he's like, no, absolutely not.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
You are a whore.
Fuck you. I am not.
I apologize. It was meant to just get a laugh. And I'm the only one who laughed.
Ha.
Yeah.
Ha ha. No, I'm a big cock tease, like
no,
you
but,
say.
But it's funny that you said that.
Why?
You know, that you had to pay him and stuff. I mean, come on. It's like, you know, I don't know, a guy that, I don't know, a mechanic. Okay, you go to sleep with a mechanic or something. He would fix your car for free. I mean, you don't have to be
well,
a whore
for
that.
I would try and insist on at least paying for the parts.
Nah, come on.
Yeah.
Not if you've been with a guy for a few days.
Well, a few days versus, I don't know. I just really didn't want it to seem like, you know, I dropped off the wildebeest, I fucked you, now I don't have to pay.
Right.
I really just did not want it to come off in that light, because I was very, very attracted to the man, and I had been for a long time.
Oh, wow.
Although thinking back on it, it was kind of creepy. There were lots of, like, dead animals that were just stuffed all over the room, like, looking at me.
Yeah. You have to wonder what kind of guy would do that.
Oh, man.
Stuff a fucking animal, man. That's got to be fucking gross.
I mean, it got to be pretty ridiculous. So when I was driving cross country, this was actually pretty crazy. I had no money when I was moving to California, like, completely broke, mm-hmm. except I had my diamond earrings on. That was, like, my life insurance policy. But so, like, I was telling him, like, how broke I was, and he was just like, he's like, oh, do you have a credit card, you know, for, you know, in case of an emergency? And I was like, I do, but they're all maxed out right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had actually already reached New Jersey when he started calling me. And he's like, please let me pay off your credit card bill. And I was like, what? I was like, no. I was like, absolutely not. You're already stuffing my wildebeest for free. That sounds so wrong. You're already stuffing my wildebeest for free. Wow. Okay, that'll be the one-liner of the day. And he was just like, no. He's like, I have to pay your credit card bill, please. I want you to be safe in case of an emergency. And finally, I was like, all right, you can pay my Amex. It's got a pretty high balance right now. So he actually paid my Amex bill.
Wow.
But, you know, I'm like moving all the way to California. And then all of a sudden, he wanted to talk to me every day. He had all these expectations.
Oh, my God. Yeah. What are you going to do, Susie? The guy loves you. He wants to talk to you every day.
But
you, it's a pain in the ass.
No, it wasn't a pain in the ass. At first, it was fine. Mm-hmm. But when I have him on the phone and for 2 hours, he's talking about the intimate details of stuffing and skinning and mounting and stuffing an elephant. I mean, he's going into like laborious details of like exactly how you do it. And I'm just kind of like, oh, my God. And then the next day he would call and tell me how he stuffed a giraffe. Then the next day he would call and tell me how he, like, stuffed a warthog.
Yeah.
And it just got to be so awful.
Yeah,
like,
I can see how you'd be put off by that.
Oh, oh, God damn it. It's like, do you do anything else with your life? Like, please. But I guess that's what some people are into, so good for them.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the last time I sleep with a taxidermist.
Okay. Now let's segue to some other news items here.
What do you think of Madonna and A-Rod?
What do I think of him?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I just don't like the fact that she went cheating on her husband and shit, you know, but what do I know?
And he cheating on his wife and his kids.
Right. So they are together now, right?
I think so.
Are they like publicly formal?
I don't think it's publicly formal, together? But she basically has him coming all over her Sticky and Sweet tour, all over the world.
Really?
All over, yeah.
Okay, so that's obvious. They're not trying to hide it.
I think
anything.
He's disgusting.
Really?
Oh,
because of what he's done to his family?
No, I could care less about that.
Yeah. But the way he looks?
Just the way he looks.
Really?
He's just so unattractive to me.
Really? Isn't he supposed to be really handsome and stuff?
I think he's disgusting.
Why?
You could not pay me to sleep with that man.
Really?
Yes.
You don't think it's about him doing what he did?
I could care less about what he did.
Really?
I have no attraction to him whatsoever.
So just physically?
Just physically.
Wow.
I think he's so gross.
Really? That's interesting.
Why?
Because I think he's considered a handsome man. You know, I mean, when people talk about him, he's considered handsome.
It's only, you know, if he weren't, like, such a big baseball player, like, no one would even notice he existed.
Yeah, well, you can say that about a lot of people, I think.
True.
If they weren't famous, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. Well, go on with your news.
Well, we have that football guy that shot himself in the fucking foot.
What?
Yeah.
Who?
That's what I played in the beginning. His name is Plaxo. Hold on, what's his name? Plaxo something, I don't know. Plaxico. Plaxico.
That's
Burress.
His name?
Yes.
Plaxico what?
Yeah, so the New York Giants have suspended Plaxico Burress for the rest of the season over the shooting incident. Okay, and so this guy was like, he's facing weapons charges and shit, like felony.
Did he shoot himself in the foot purposely?
Yeah, no.
How do you accidentally shoot yourself in the fucking foot?
He was walking in the street. He had a gun on him, and he shot himself in the foot.
That is hysterical.
Isn't it, though?
What a loser.
I know.
Has he ever heard of safety, like a safety on a weapon?
No.
Oh, my
God.
No,
he hasn't heard that.
Okay.
But all the shit that these football players are doing, you know, I mean, it's just fucking, you know, I don't know. But, you know, I mean, that's why... I'm thinking, you know, it's sort of like we have expectations from them.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to remember, many of these players, the only reason they were even able to stay in college is because they were playing football. You know, a lot of them end up fucking leaving illiterate, you know, out of college, and they know shit, and they're still street people. You know,
I know.
It's street smarts and shit.
Yeah, that is a good point. And then because they are, like, you know, big famous football players, I mean, I guess they have to have, like, an element of protection with them.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And entitlement, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, with that Michael Vick with the dogs and shit, you know.
Oh, God, that was awful.
Yeah.
That was so awful.
I know, and they always get into fucking trouble, you know.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
Some people here got...
He was the one with the pit bulls and, like, you know, fighting them, right?
Yeah, all the dog fighting.
That was so disgusting. That, like, broke my heart.
Yeah, I know. And then, so unrelated note, 6 NFL players have been suspended for 4 games each after taking banned substances.
Banned substances?
Yeah.
That's
so,
very broad.
I mean, no, but my question is, I mean, you're a football player, right?
I thought you were asking me. I was like, no.
You're an athlete. You know, whatever athlete you are. I mean, the most basic thing that you have to remember is that you're always going to be tested for shit. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So why would you even try to take something? I mean, isn't that like... I mean, it's stupid.
It really is stupid.
Do they think they can get away with this?
Absolutely. Everyone thinks they can get away with anything. Like, for instance, me, when I joined the military, I was so high when I went down to, like, you know, join the fucking army. And
really?
They give you a drug test. And they have someone watch you piss in a cup.
Yeah.
But so, literally, at 4 o'clock in the morning, when I was waking up, they put me up in a hotel after I had, like, signed the papers. And then I had to go to the military entrancing processing center.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I knew I had so many drugs in my system, I went and bought this thing called Vail's Formula. And it's got, like, an 85% chance of working.
Mm-hmm.
And you chug the thing down. It's totally nasty. And... You know, I'm going, like, to work for the United States government here. And here I'm taking a crazy risk, you know. But, you know, there's a big percentage that this shit's not going to work.
Right.
And here I am peeing in the cup in front of, like, the female sergeant.
Now, what's that stuff supposed to do?
I don't know what it does.
Yeah.
But it totally, like, wipes out the drugs. I don't know. It just, like,
ridiculously
cleanses your body. So I pee into this cup in front of the sergeant. And my piss... was like, womp, 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 womp. It looked like some kind of, like, foreign alien specimen. I'm telling you, I've never seen a color like this before.
Really?
And, you know, she kind of looks at me, and I'm just like, I take a lot of dietary supplements. It's like, what else can I say? But, you know, at this time, it was right after 9/11, and she's just like, I'm going to keep my mouth shut and test the piss, and, you know, and I was scot-free.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
So, I mean, you think you can get away with these things, and you never know. And the drug tests are usually very random. You know, they're not done whenever, you know, it's convenient for you.
Yeah. Don't they have regular tests, too? I'm sure they do.
I don't think so. I think they do, like, very random. Like, even in the military, like, they take piss samples from everyone, and they only, like, sample, they just randomly pick a couple.
Right.
This one guy actually got busted for cocaine, and it sucks, because I was, like, doing fucking lines all night.
Yeah.
And this poor guy gets busted for it, and I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
It's like, that could have been me. And that is not nice when that happens. They knock you all the way down in rank to the bottom of the barrel. You lose pay grade. It ruins your life.
Yeah.
So these guys are, you know.
They're stupid.
They're stupid, but
I mean,
you think
so
you can get away with anything.
People. I know. But the big story, I guess, yesterday, the big, the most unimportant story, the biggest unimportant story.
That's all we're talking about. Is unimportant
exactly.
Things.
We don't get into interesting shit at all, or not necessarily interesting, but relevant stuff.
Relevant, yes.
Yeah. And so someone reportedly placed a device on the car of American Idol judge Simon Cowell so they could know where he was at all times.
Whoa, yeah. A tracking device.
Is that
device.
Like fucking scary? He said apparently that he realized everywhere he was driving, there was a motorcycle behind him, you know?
Oh, no.
And if, you know, I guess they must have figured this guy knows where I'm going. And so they arrested the guy.
How can... And, wait... So
he put like a homing device on the car, and then you can find out where the car is at all time. You know, like the LoJack thing. You know,
aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Who cares about Simon Cowell? He's such a fucking prick.
Really, you think so?
Oh God, he's disgusting.
He's not. I mean, he makes the show. You know, without him, it'd be so fucking boring.
He's absolutely disgusting. I hate him. Who cares where? Who cares where he is? Like on a daily basis. Like
well,
seriously.
Well, some people are, I guess.
That is just, like, ridiculous. I mean, if people wanted to know where, like, where I was, I would understand that.
Mm. But yeah. Well, I'm sure they do want to know that.
They just have to check my Facebook. Susie is.
Yeah, well, when you're, when you're a judge on American Idol, maybe it'll happen.
Ugh, God, I would never.
Yeah.
I would like to audition for, I don't know, you were asking me about, like, reality shows and stuff before. Uh-huh. You want to be on Jeopardy?
Yes.
Well, have you ever applied for Jeopardy?
No.
No.
But I should, right?
Yeah, you totally should. My grandma should, too. She kicks ass at it.
Yeah. You know, it's pretty cool. I mean, you know when I was best at it, when I was at home playing along, was when I went to college. You know, because it really opens up so many horizons for you, you know. And, mm-hmm. and suddenly you're, like, intimately again with history and art and
you've
you
got
know.
It all fresh in your
yes,
mind and
it's
everything.
All fresh in your mind, you know.
I know.
That's why when they have the college tournaments, often they're really cool, you know.
The college tournaments are really cool. Jeopardy is one of my favorite game shows that's on TV.
Is it? Yeah. It's the only one that doesn't really require luck, you know. It's all, like, skill.
Yes.
You know, and that's why it's cool, I think.
See, I don't want to be on Jeopardy.
Yeah. Like,
I
want to
be on Wheel of
me.
Fortune.
Yeah, you see, that bores me. I mean, there's nothing to
it. It's so cheesy and so pathetic.
It
and
is.
You're just like, all right, really? Really? I don't know. And big money, big money. Actually, I was yelling that at the craps table the other day. Yeah. And then the guy, as soon as I was yelling, big money, he, you know, craps out. And I'm just like, fuck. And the guy was like, you don't say that.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, why not? Oh,
yeah, you
man.
Need some casino etiquette. Did you spend any time at the casinos?
Only on the way out of town. When
oh,
I
really?
Lost,
yeah, when you stopped there.
When I lost all my gas money.
That's amazing. I mean, you usually like going to casinos and stuff, don't you?
Yes, because I usually get to spend my father's money.
Yes, you do. And this time you didn't get the chance to?
Well, we didn't really want to.
When
I go, I'm telling you, when I go to Vegas, I mean, the most fun we had was the day that we spent like 36 hours in the house. Running around, we were just drunk and naked in the hot tub, and I was jumping into the 50-degree pool and, like, back into the hot tub and playing backgammon all day.
Yeah.
Like, that was seriously, like, the most fun I had.
Yeah. Now, were you walking around naked with your dad in the house?
No. Well, I was, like, naked in the hot tub, but he couldn't
in the
really
hot tub,
that.
So you took your, robe off. You were totally nude in the hot tub?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
With these guys?
Well, one guy.
Yeah.
Well, actually, two guys,
there
yeah.
Were the
two
Will
guys,
and Justin,
Will and Justin,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And they both saw your coochoo-coochoo?
Coochoo-coochoo, he says. yes.
Wow.
Oh, Sam, what am I going to do
God,
with
you're
you?
You're so fucking free with your body. It's amazing.
You know, whatever. That's actually how when I first... The very first time I went to this house in
you
Vegas...
You mean they didn't just sit there and start masturbating?
No. Who does that? You're a creep.
Well, we already know that.
Like, seriously, who does that? No one. I don't know. And actually, that's how I got my car detailed the last time I was there, because I came bounding out of the house, or like out of my bedroom the one morning, mm-hmm. and the pool boy at my dad's house is also kind of the handyman, and he also has a car detailing service. And so he said it was because my car was an embarrassment to the neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
That's why he cleaned it. But I came bounding out of my room, like in my, you know, my little bathing suit bottoms, and that was it. You know, and running through the kitchen topless, and I just went flying through the door into the pool, and he's just like, what was that? Jesus Christ. And my dad's girlfriend's like, oh, that's just Susie.
Yeah.
And he's just like, she is the total opposite of this other sister, because my sister, you know, the serious doctor.
Yeah.
We should call her one of these days.
Yeah, we should.
We really should.
Yeah.
We should
and bring her low to our level.
Yes.
You know, we'll see if she can survive.
Oh,
this.
she can get low.
Yeah.
She can get very low. You know what? We should also call Michael, and you should ask him why the hell he bought me $40,000 diamond earrings.
I know. We should.
We really should. He always picks up the phone if you call him. Always.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know if he wants to be on the air.
Oh, he won't care.
I mean, okay, if you want to. I mean, it's not my friend, you know. You want to call him?
Sure.
Okay, but I don't have his number, so maybe you can write it during the break. We'll take a brief break. You want to?
Sure.
Okay. We'll take a... what'd I do here? Oh, okay. Actually, you should listen to this. Yeah, we'll be back right after this.
Michelle, do you remember this place?
Oh, Barack, this is where we first met.
And here?
Oh, yeah. This is where you announced for president and dragged your family into some fool campaign.
What about here?
I don't remember this place.
Well, you will.
Barack, where the heck are we?
This is for you, dear. It's a diamond ring.
Barack! Oh, I do deserve this. Actually, it should be bigger, especially with all the crap I'm going to have to put up with the next 4 years.
The $30,000 diamond and rhodium harmony ring. It's the perfect way to spend a little leftover campaign cash for the one you love.
Hell yes. The Barack administration begins with bling.
On your computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone, commercial-free original talk. Only on LA Talk Radio, your favorite talk station.
Don't know when I've been so blue. Don't know what's come over you. You found someone, and don't it make my brown eyes blue? I'll be fine when you're gone. I'll just cry all night long. Say it is all. Some lies, give me no reasons, give me alibis. Tell me you love me and don't let me cry. Say anything, but don't say goodbye. I didn't mean to treat you bad, didn't know just what I had. Honey, now I do. And don't it make my brown eyes, don't it make my brown eyes, don't it make my brown eyes blue? Don't it make my brown eyes, don't it make my brown eyes, brown eyes blue. Don't it make my brown eyes, don't it make my brown eyes, don't it make my brown eyes
blue. Listening to the best morning show on internet radio. It's Sam and Susie in the morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
It's Sam and Susie in the morning on LA Talk Radio.
Okay, so are we calling your friend?
Yeah, call him.
Yeah?
Let's see if he picks up a number he doesn't know.
Okay. And you're going to be the one talking to him, okay?
Yes, yes.
All right. So we're going to call him. What's his name?
Michael.
Okay, and this is Susie's... older friend.
An ex-boyfriend, actually.
Back east.
He's my 65-year-old ex-boyfriend.
So he was actually a boyfriend?
Yes.
65 years old.
He was 60 and I was 21.
Okay. Well, we're not going to comment on this, Susie, because... Oh, wait a minute. We need to turn off our music here.
Hello.
Hi, Michael. It's Susie and Sam.
Hey, how are you?
You're on the air, live with LA Talk Radio.
I told her we shouldn't do it, but she insisted.
Thank you very much, Sam.
Yeah.
How are you this morning, Michael?
I'm fine. I had a nice dinner cocktail party last night from my prep school.
Very nice, very nice. Kimball Union?
Kimball Union Academy, New Hampshire.
We'll give a shout out to Kimball Union and all those little preppy boys over there.
Well, they're not so preppy. I learned something about the school last night. 22 countries are representative.
Wow.
Represented at that school.
That's pretty amazing.
22. That is amazing.
Well, the reason I wanted to call was because Sam was giving me shit because I said, you know, if Obama wants to buy his wife a $30,000 ring, go for it, you know?
No, you said that.
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
And you were giving me shit for saying that.
Right.
Michael, do you agree with that?
Yeah. Well, let him buy her a ring. Why not? She deserves it.
Exactly.
True, but the thing is that he's, you know, I mean, being the president-elect, do you really go and spend that kind of money and rub it in everybody's faces?
No, it doesn't look good, of course. It doesn't look like the right thing, but I think the woman deserves it. She's been through a lot.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And then I kind of brought up the point of my former earrings.
Do you still remember that, Michael?
Let's see. How's the story? I bought you the earrings, and they lasted about 6 months. I never insured jewelry of my own. But I insured those because I knew they were going to be lost.
It wasn't my fault, though, and then you deemed me too irresponsible to replace them.
That's right.
Yeah.
Got any more.
That wasn't very nice. My ears are empty.
I pocketed the money.
You motherfucker. I can't believe that. So, Sam, I was telling Sam that you're the oldest man that I've ever dated.
Yes.
Yes,
I would hope so.
Yeah. So you were. She told us that you were 60 and she was 21. Now, how do you pick up a 21-year-old beautiful girl? You know, 60 years old. I mean, obviously, you could be her grandfather easily. What is the thinking? I mean, look, if I were your age, I would do the same thing. But how? I have to salute you.
She picked me up.
Really?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
I was just sitting there minding my own business.
Really? Well, you fell in her trap too. Let me tell you, she seems to be doing that a lot.
Hey.
Her trap.
Yes.
Her trap. I do not have a trap.
Yeah, she's a black widow. All right.
I am not.
Yeah, but you know her much better than I do. How long have you guys known each other? Michael.
Oh, I don't know. How long since?
I don't know.
Couple years? More?
Oh, five, over five?
Yeah, over five now.
Wow.
Wow, I think you're one of like my oldest friends, actually.
Yeah. Well, you just told him that again. I don't really think he wants to hear that. You know?
Oh no, and like old, like longest.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Longest. Right. But you know what? I will say, Michael, for his age, he's remarkably well preserved. He looks like he's 40.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Well, congratulations to you, Michael.
Thank you very much, and I got a lot of compliments last night. The guy, one of the fellow that I graduated from Kimball Union with says, "What in the world do you do to yourself?"
I'm telling you.
I look like an old man. You look great.
He's got the body of like a 35-year-old, you know, that like, and he doesn't work out. He doesn't do anything.
Really?
You know, nice. But he doesn't drink and he doesn't do drugs.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So I'm telling you, like, if you look at his hands, like, they're like little boy hands.
Oh, I see. Okay. So you pretend you're with a 35-year-old. Right, Susie?
Yes. Yes,
that's right.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, isn't it a slow news day? You had to call me. What was the reason for calling again?
Because she brought you up with the earrings and stuff. So,
the earrings?
Yeah. And my former platinum card.
Yeah, I told her we shouldn't call you, but she insisted, you know. So now that we have you on the line, I really want to hear from both of you how you guys met. What do you mean she approached you? What was that all about?
She was working she was hired by a friend of mine that had retired and bought this bar in Marblehead. And she was working there, and I'd go in and sit at the bar and eat and talk to my friend that owned the bar restaurant. And we just became friends.
Basically, he's got the same birthday that I do. And I like, you know, that kind of came up, and it's like, what is it, 39 years apart?
Yeah.
But we're both born on March 14th, Pi Day.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
And then, I don't know, I thought he was, like, really cute. And so I asked Mark, who was the owner of the bar, I was like, Mark, I was like, you know, you should have Michael, like, you know, ask me out. Mm-hmm. And Mark was like, absolutely not. You know, he's my fucking best friend. He's an old man. I'm not letting him. No, absolutely not. And so I finally convinced Mark to let Michael, you know, take me out to dinner at Mark's house.
Well, no, actually, remember I had some steaks and I was bringing them over to Mark's house.
And there were four of them and you didn't have a date.
And I said, I got an extra steak. I said, you know, and we had talked, Susie and I had talked, and I said, well, maybe she can come out. He says, oh, I would. I don't think that's a good idea.
Mixing business with pleasure. Yeah. But so anyway, Michael picks me up, like, in his Range Rover. Michael has a Lamborghini. He's got a Bentley. He's got an entire, like, garage full of cars.
Did you know that? You didn't know him at all?
No, no. But right. So he picks me up in the Range Rover, and after we have, like, our fabulous dinner, I think this is probably the most forward thing I did. I'm like, Michael, pull over. I really have to pee. And he's like, what? We're driving home. I was like, I gotta fucking pee, you know, to this man, you know, that I barely even know. And I grab the Dunkin' Donuts coffee cup he had in the car. I pull up my skirt and I pee in the Range Rover.
Oh my God, right in front of Michael.
Right in front of him.
What?
she wanted to pull over, but there was no place to pull over to get out of the car. We were in the city.
Were you, like, blown away completely?
She's kind of like the normal girl that I've dated over the years.
Yeah.
she falls into a category.
I do not.
I don't think you can put her in any category this
girl. I do not fall into a category. Take it back.
No. She's just like everybody else I went out with.
Oh, bullshit. Yeah.
No, Susie,
she's different.
Yeah.
She's different, but in a good way.
She is. I mean, Susie doesn't see age, you know, in people. I mean, to her, it doesn't matter, you know, because now you're telling us, Susie, here that you really had to go out with a 60-year-old man, being 21. I mean, that's kind of unusual, wouldn't you say?
It was a little bit unusual. I remember specifically, like, I sent my mom a letter, and I was like, Mom, I was like, I have to tell you something, and I don't know how you're going to feel about it. I was like, I kind of am dating, you know, a 60-year-old. And, you know, my conservative Catholic mother was just like, you know what? She's like, I've got friends that have married people that are, you know, like 20, 30 years older than them. I was like, he's 40 years older than me, yeah. Mom. Like, that's like a big difference.
Yeah.
Well, and then she started sending you things in the mail that of who was going out with who, with their age difference.
Exactly. So then she actually really approved of it. And my family to this day wants me to marry Michael. You know what I mean?
Really?
They love him so much.
Wow.
And anytime my family likes someone, they're done.
Yeah.
That's funny because I'm a lot older than your mother.
I know.
Yeah, that's
amazing.
I'm
a few years older than your father.
Yeah, but you see, I mean, that's what makes it, I think, a neat relationship, you know, because you would think generally a 20-year-old girl wouldn't have much to share with a 60-year-old man, but obviously you guys hit it off, you know?
I asked if I could sit on his lap.
Oh, yeah? What went through your mind, Michael? I mean, this chick is like totally...
I didn't know what this was. Was this a date? Was she just here as a friend? And then we were sitting at my house outside, and she said, can I come sit on your lap?
And you're like, yeah, of course.
I guess this is a date. And it's a pretty good one at that.
Yeah, let me tell you, my God.
Maybe I have a daddy complex. I don't know.
Maybe you do. Who knows?
He yelled at me once. I tried to call him daddy, and he's like, don't call me daddy.
Yeah. You shouldn't have a daddy complex because you're pretty close with your dad, right?
I know, which is why it was weird. And you got mad when I called you daddy, didn't you, Michael?
Well,
yes,
I would.
Did. Yeah. No, I don't want to be called daddy. Thank you.
Yeah, no, especially not with a girl you're stooping and stuff. But anyway.
Now, Sam, how old are you?
I'm 48. I'm 48.
Oh, 48.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, I could only be her father, not a grandfather.
Yeah,
right.
Yes.
Yeah. But at any rate, I mean, that's a whole fascinating show just about what happened with you guys after the sitting on the lap and the following 5 years. So maybe we'll call you another time, Michael.
All right. You better be sitting down. I'm glad you picked up, Michael. I wasn't sure if you'd pick up a number you didn't know.
Well, I'm sitting at my table at the restaurant. I'm waiting for the ambassador from Albania to come in, and I have to say hello to him.
Oh, nice. Michael's Albanian.
Oh, really?
He's kind of actually an Albanian prince.
Parents were both born in Albania, and they came here at a very young age. My father was 3 and my mother was 6.
Yeah.
Michael's family is very, very, very famous.
Yeah.
Michael was in GQ.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. Well, we definitely, I mean, you sound like a fascinating man. I can see why Susie would want to be in your company.
I don't know how fascinating I am.
Yeah.
But it was nice of you to call. This is a big surprise.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Okay, well, Yeah, I'm sure he's going to let you have it after the show.
No, he never will.
No, we did put him on the spot.
Does this sound okay if someone's on a cell phone when they're on the radio?
You sound actually very well.
Especially for the noise in the restaurant. You know, it sounds really, really good.
No, you sound good. Yeah.
Here they are.
Okay, Michael.
All right, go greet the Albanians.
Right. Yeah.
I'll go meet the Albanians.
Okay, all the best, Michael.
Bye.
Thanks for sharing.
All right, bye. Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye. Sounds like a very nice man, Susie.
He's my best friend still to this day.
You only know nice people.
I know.
Yeah.
I talked to that man. He is a saint in my life. Like, you don't even know. Mm. I mean, all the shit he's put up with that I've done, like, it's just been ridiculous.
I'm sure.
I can't tell you, like, I'll late night drunkenly call him. It'll be like 3, 4, 5 in the morning in Boston. Mm-hmm. I'm like, Michael, I just want to say I love you. You put up with all my shit. You always answer the phone. You're just the best person ever. And he's like, okay, sweetheart, I got to go back to bed. I'm like, no, I love you. And he's like, I know you do. And I'm like, no, really. I know I'm on ecstasy right now.
Yeah. Susie, you got to drink one time when we do a show, you know? I want to see you go from sober, if you can call it that.
Oh, God. But seriously, that man is just a saint in my life. He really is.
I'm sure. Wow.
Yeah, I can't believe you picked up. So, that was Michael. That was Mikey. Yeah.
I'd love to have someone with a lot of money that would just give me some.
That would just give you some?
Yeah. Just give me some. Give me a fucking credit card, you know?
Yeah, it was nice. It was very nice.
Yeah.
Very, quite nice.
Yeah. Just goes to show once again that's why people ask, what's it like to be such a beautiful woman? You know, when they see a beautiful woman. Because it's a totally different fucking life, you know?
But
all the doors are open for you.
Beautiful people don't really, I mean, they know that they, you know, they look different than other people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And they know they get the doors open for them, but they still have, like, massive insecurities.
No, I'm sure they do.
And they don't really, like, believe. I don't know if they really believe they're beautiful or not. Mm. I don't know. Some people. I don't know.
Yeah, it depends how fucked up they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm hungry.
What can I tell you? Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we've got about 10 minutes.
I was just thinking about his restaurant, and I really. Oh, my God. His father opened. I think it was like the highest grossing restaurant in the country for like a million years in Boston called Anthony's Pier 4.
Mm-hmm.
And they have just got the most unbelievable food.
Really?
Oysters and lobster and oysters and crab and lobster and then lobster. Like when I go there, I have lobster stuffed with lobster.
Really? Wow. They love seafood up there, huh?
Yes. Yeah. There really isn't very good seafood in California.
No, huh?
No. I mean, it's okay.
Yeah.
But even the lobsters here don't have fucking claws.
Really?
What the fuck is up with that?
It's California. It's got to be politically correct, I suppose.
Oh, Jesus. The claws are the best part. I hate it.
Yeah.
I really... Oh, never mind.
What? You can't order claws here?
I think they could be shipped in, but like the lobsters that you get in California, they don't have any fucking claws.
How come?
I don't know.
Really? You should find out. Because that's interesting. I mean, why would that... Is that like a law or something?
It's not a law.
Yeah. So why would
lobsters.
So there would be some restaurants that have it.
Wait, that have lobsters with no claws?
No, or with claws. I mean, well, if you wanted the claws, I'm sure you could find a restaurant that has it.
Yes, but those lobsters have to be shipped in from the East Coast.
Yeah.
Like, the lobsters don't grow claws here.
Oh, I thought you meant that they chop them off or something here. Oh, okay.
No.
I didn't realize that.
The lobsters, like, physically, they don't grow claws.
How do they grow? I mean, how do they protect themselves?
That's what I was wondering. I have no idea. But they're called Pacific lobsters. And so, like, actually, it was just Pacific lobster season.
Yeah.
And so, a lot of my friends, you know, they go out lobstering. And I was so excited for, like, lobster dinner. And I get there, and I'm like, these lobsters have no goddamn claws.
Wow.
That's the best part.
Yeah.
I really want a lobster right now. I'm so spoiled.
Really?
Oh, my mouth is watering.
You know that I've never eaten one?
Shut the fuck up.
No. Now, let me tell
you this.
You've
never eaten a lobster?
No. Well, let me explain to you. Okay, I was raised... Look, you live in Israel. You're mostly raised on kosher food, okay? And stop giving me that look.
You have to go get a lobster right now.
Listen to me.
Oh, Sam.
Susie, can I finish this? Oh. Okay. So I was raised with like kosher food. So you don't eat any shellfish.
Gefilte fish.
Right. But no, I never ate that. But no.
The other white
and then
meat.
When I came to America, then I started eating cheeseburgers. You know, it's like dairy with meat and stuff. And then, you know, a few years ago, I started liking shrimp and stuff. You know, so I'll eat that and stuff. I obviously eat a lot of pork and stuff. You know, I mean, I have no problem with bacon and ham and that. So I'm not into kosher food at all. But
you've never eaten
but
a
I've
lobster?
Never eaten one, and it grosses me out. Crabs too, you know. It's like you look at them and they're gross.
Oh no!
The way
no,
they look
no,
is
no,
gross.
No.
They're bottom feeders, Susie.
Oh man, they are unbelievable.
They eat fucking garbage.
No, they are the tender meat, and it's just oh, the, nom nom nom.
Really? What does it taste? I mean, does it taste like a fish? Or
it does
what?
Not taste like a fish. It's got a very it's a different consistency than fish. You know, fish is kind of like flakier.
Right.
It's I don't want to say
and
chewy.
This is what, gummy?
This it's not gummy, but because you bite down, but it's got like substance to it. It's more like meat than it is like fish.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Oh my God, you've never had a Sam.
No.
Like, we are going out to have lobster.
Is it good?
Actually, you know what? I'm gonna call Michael when I get out of here, and I'm gonna have him overnight us some lobsters.
Really?
Yes. I'm dead serious.
And what do? You boil them?
Yeah. Or you could bake them. Oh my God. You
sounds
don't even
gross,
know.
Susie.
No.
I'm not eating that shit.
Yes, you will.
I'm not. I can't look at fucking that has claws and eyes in front of me.
Well, this is the nice thing about his restaurant. I go in there and I'm so spoiled, and it's like, George, like, I'll have a lobster. Please have it taken out of the shell for me. I don't want to get my hands dirty. And like, George will come running back, and he's like, yes, Madam Susie, here you go. I'm
really?
Like, thank you, darling.
So when you go to a restaurant, won't they give it to you without the shell if you don't want to?
No.
Really?
Very rarely.
Oh. Maybe because it tastes better when it's in the shell, no?
No, just, I don't know, part of the lobster is, like, you've got to get your hands dirty to, like, you know, get in there.
Yeah.
To, like, get into the meat and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's just part of the experience. The waiter comes up
like
and he ties the bib around your neck, and then you're just like, ooh, okay. Then you just kind of, like, get to work on it.
Yeah.
And, like, your reward is, like, the unbelievable freaking lobster meat once you get in there. But if you're spoiled like me, and I go to Michael's restaurant, and I'm a princess, I walk in, I'm like, Stop.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I don't know. I look at a lobster, it looks like a fucking alien creature or something.
Oh, it totally does.
You know?
And
yeah, so how the fuck
And I feel badly for... Oh, man. Have you ever looked at a cow? You want to eat a cow?
Yeah.
But not a lobster?
But what's wrong with a cow?
They're... All right, you eat a pig? Do you know what pigs
I'm ashamed
are fed?
To say. No, I know. That's why it's not kosher. You see, anything that's like... That eats shit is not kosher. You know? Any, so, you know, when you think about it, it's like, you know, chicken and cows, you know, beef, lamb, you know, things like that. You know, fish that swim, you know, that have scales and shit and fins. And so, you know, they swim. They don't really eat shit, you know.
I'm having lobster sent out.
Yeah, but I don't know that I'm going to eat it.
You will eat it. You will eat it and you will like it.
Okay, I'll take one bite.
Oh my gosh!
I hope I don't throw up.
And you've got to like dip it in butter, and you're
because
just like,
you see, it's got like connotations to for me. You know, that's what I'm saying. It's just like it's something that's like you don't
eat oysters.
Eat that. No, no oysters, no clams.
Caviar?
No, never had it.
Oh, but
never
Sam.
Had it. Yeah, but you see, that's kosher because it's fish. You know. So,
oh God!
Yeah, but again, I'm telling you, I don't eat kosher. It's just that I was raised that way, and when you're raised, you know, at your childhood, don't look at this food, don't touch it, then you don't, you know. But like I said, you know, I've definitely gotten into pork. I really like pork.
I like pork, but thinking back on it, my ex-boyfriend had a farm in upstate New York, and one day his parents went on a cruise, and we had to take care of all the animals, and so my job was to go and feed the pigs. And so I go into the barn, you know, with my muckers on and I'm all, you know, got my big sweater and I walk into the barn and there are all these bags of pig food. And so I flip over the bag and it was from Dunkin' Donuts. It was Dunkin' Donuts donut mix. And that's what the pigs ate.
Really?
I don't eat Dunkin' Donuts donuts. I don't eat donuts anymore, actually.
Right.
And these pigs are just like, you know,
they roll in the mud and shit, you know. I mean,
and you will eat that, but not a lobster.
Yeah, you
that's
see?
Swimming in a fresh, fresh, wonderful ocean.
The lobsters don't swim. They crawl on the fucking bottom.
And they swim. Never mind.
I've never seen a lobster swim.
I have.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do they have fins?
They don't have fins, but they can float around.
They can. Well, I'm totally ignorant about lobsters. What the hell do I know?
I know.
But yeah, I know
is
the
it time
people,
to go? I want a cheeseburger.
People think it's a delicacy and
I'm
shit.
I'm really hungry.
Are you really?
Yeah. Let's go get a cheeseburger.
Sounds good. Where? McDonald's?
Fat Burger. I've never been to one.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Then don't. It's not that great.
Really? People say it's pretty good.
I don't know. My favorite hamburgers are Wendy's or, you know, when you go to a restaurant.
I'm the Wendy's kids meal girl.
Really?
I did 10 Wendy's commercials.
Really?
Yeah, Wendy's kids meals are just for kids. And so is what's inside. They're not for dummies. They're not for mummies. Because Wendy's kids meals are just for kids.
Okay, this begs for this one here.
Thank you. Thank you. Actually, filming that commercial was pretty cute because I was missing my front teeth. Mm-hmm. And so when I got the commercial, I had my front teeth, and you have to have a flipper made by like a dentist person.
Uh-huh.
So I have these fake teeth in. And so there was this one scene, it was a close-up of my face with a big cheeseburger, and I was like going in for a big bite, uh-huh. and I was just like, but right before I like opened my mouth to have a huge smile, I like flicked the flipper out of my mouth, uh-huh. and I had it like, you know, up, hidden in my mouth. Yeah. And so I go in for the huge bite, and I have like this huge black hole of like missing teeth. And they're like, oh my God, cut. She just lost her teeth. Fuck. Like, she ruined the scene. Oh my wow. God. You know, we're going to have to like postpone the shooting.
That's funny.
And then, you know, I'm like, ha 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 ha. I'm like, I'm just kidding, guys. And I put my teeth back in, and they're just like, oh, Jesus, this kid messing up everything.
Yeah. So how old were you when you did that?
Probably nine or no, probably I don't know, 11 till I was like 14.
Mm.
I did this for a few years.
Yeah, the Wendy's.
Yeah, they liked me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you remember the? No, you can't remember. This was before you, but the Where's the Beef commercial.
Actually, I do remember that.
How can you remember that, Susie? That was probably like in the early 80s or something, 70s.
And or then you the know? Beef. It's What's for Dinner.
No, Where's the Beef? Okay, it was this, what's her name, Clara something, okay.
Okay,
it was
maybe I don't remember.
This older woman, okay, and she would go to a hamburger restaurant, and they would put like a big bun with like a very small hamburger on it. And she would open it, she goes, where's the beef?
Oh, no.
And it became like a total huge thing.
And it was for Wendy's because they actually have a burger.
Yeah.
With like substantial meat portions.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
No, but I really find that Wendy's is, first of all, it's probably the only place where they don't make the food in advance. And so it's always fresh. The place is always clean, you know. So, I mean, I'm not condoning fast food restaurants.
I wouldn't be a spokesperson for anything less than the best fast food.
There you go, you see. So you recognized it early on.
Oh, absolutely.
But what I don't understand is they used to have a lot more Wendy's here, and they closed down a lot of them.
Hmm.
I don't understand that.
I don't either.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know why. And they used to, and they do that.
In-N-Out Burger is kind of taking over.
Yeah, but you know what? They used to have only one.
One In-N-Out Burger?
Yes, and it
only
was down,
one ever.
Yes, and it was down here in the valley. On Ventura Boulevard in Woodland Hills. And every time you'd go by there, the line of cars would block the whole right lane of the street.
Really?
Like for half a mile. I mean, people would fucking pull up in their cars. You know, it was only drive-through, not like today where you have a sit-down. So that was only drive-through. And people would fucking, and especially like at midnight and shit, when everything else was closed, people would just line up there. And it was like amazing.
Wow.
A money factory, you know?
God.
So
that
they
place
have great
is actually it's actually pretty cool because in order to own an In-N-Out Burger, you have to have held every job in the restaurant or in the business.
Really?
You have to have been the garbage taker outer, you have to have been the dish boy, you have to be operating the fryer later, you've got to operate, you know, you've got to like flip the burgers, you've got to be outside taking the orders. And I think that's a pretty cool like business motto.
No, it is. I think that most franchises are like that, aren't they?
No.
No, where you get involved in everything. I mean, how
but
can
I mean,
you manage
just, like,
a business?
You really like understand everything, and I think that's just so cool.
Yeah.
And I'm really, 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 really hungry.
I know, me too. And you know what I was thinking this morning? I mean, normally I don't eat before 1:30.
I don't know how you do that.
So, you know, if I get up at 5, that means like 7-8 hours of not eating, you know?
Sam, the first thing I do when I get up is I have like a bowl of cereal or I cook eggs or I do something. I mean, I will not come in here unless
I've
eaten something.
I can't eat anything when I just get up in the morning. You know?
I have to, and I'm starving 3 hours later.
Yeah. I know. It's not healthy at all. You know, it's not healthy at all to start eating.
But it doesn't matter. You're going to do what you want to do.
No, I mean, I need to change that. I really.
But you're not going to.
How do you know?
Because you're not going to quit smoking, and you're not going to start eating early, and you're just constantly going to be irritated with me.
Okay, so you've given up on me.
I've given up on you.
I'm never irritated with you. When am I irritated?
I haven't given up on you. I've just accepted you for what you are.
Wonderful. And when am I ever irritated with you?
When I come in late.
No,
actually,
you never come in late.
I haven't come in late in a while, but when I used to come in late, you would give me death stares.
Nah.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so that was a long time ago. Okay, now you're always here on time. I'm not irritated with you at all. I have the best time here. I really do.
And on that note, let's wrap it up.
Okay.
I need
a burger. Susie's really hungry.
I'm really hungry.
All right, everyone. Thank you for joining us. And tomorrow's Thursday, so we are going to be here. And we'll see you tomorrow.
to Sam and Susie in the Morning, which airs every weekday at 9 a.m. Pacific. To contact the show, please email your question or comment to sam@latalkradio.com or susie@latalkradio.com. A complete list of all past shows can be found on our archives page and on iTunes. For sponsorship or advertising information, email us at info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Susie in the Morning is a presentation of LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com. LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.